Let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
We're pleased to welcome back to the program Kevin Woodley. You know Kevin's work from NHL.com and In Goal Magazine. Kevin, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us, and happy Canada Day to you.
Yeah, to you guys too. It's busy already, eh?
It certainly is busy already. Kevin, we're going to get your thoughts and opinions on some of the different goaltending moves throughout the NHL. We, of course, start here in Winnipeg, where the expectation is that the Jets are going to sign Steve Mason to a contract as of 11 a.m. this morning. You know, your thoughts on Steve Mason and the potential fit here with the Winnipeg Jets and in a, you know, maybe in a 1A, 1B situation alongside Connor Hellebuck. Is that a good fit in your mind?
I guess it depends on term, right? I mean, that's what this is going to all come down to. No secret that I like what the Jets have coming. I like Connor Hellebuck. I like Eric Comrie. I like them to be NHL regulars. So the question, of course, is how many years did you have to give Steve Mason to get him to come there? And frankly, it's probably a year too late. This is what you needed last year with Connor Hellebuck. You needed somebody who would allow him to sort of grow into that role. One of the sort of best jobs I've seen of bringing a goaltender along was Corey Schneider with Roberto Luongo. It was 3 years in the A, maybe a little over right down there, but then into a 25-start situation where you're still working with the goalie coach, still making the changes in your game in practice, because those things are all grouped through repetition. Difficult. By the time you get into a game, you want it to be instinctual. So 25 games in the first year, and then in the second year, they were around 25, 30 again, but they were tougher games. They were tougher starts. They were more meaningful. There were starts in Boston. They put him in tougher roles. Again, just take that next step and then move, if he ends up moving it into a number one job elsewhere. Ideally, that's what you would have liked last year. I think Mason could be a good fit for that to start that transition this year. The irony here is that Steve Mason is the poster child for too much too soon in Columbus, right? Like, this is what you don't want to happen to Connor Hellebuck is what happened to Steve Mason in Columbus, where he had a great start as a rookie. The league scouted him after that great start. They started to figure some things out, and there were some growing pains. But by the time they recognized those growing pains maybe needed to be solved elsewhere, he required waivers, and they couldn't send him down to the American Hockey League without fear of losing him. And so he ended up in this bad situation in Columbus. And by the end of it, I've talked to Steve about this before. By the end of it in Columbus, he had actually made strides in his game that you would see pay off with the Flyers, where he has been pretty good, really good at times. But he said, and he still believes, that no matter those strides in Columbus, it never would have worked there because the ball had gotten rolling downhill and the snowball had gotten too big and was moving too fast in Columbus to really stop it. So, when a guy struggles early like that, you have a breakdown of trust that can occur where the defenseman doesn't, the D-men don't, and the teammates in front of them don't really trust the goaltender. The goaltender doesn't really trust the system. And everybody's starting to try and do each other's jobs and rather than just worrying about their own job. And Mason had hit that point in Columbus where, whether it was the fans on him or those types of breakdowns where that trust had just disintegrated, he knew, and he'll tell you to this day, it was never going to work there. But as soon as he moved to Philadelphia, things were fine. A few depth changes, he simplified his game, and he's been pretty good ever since. So that's what you didn't want to have happen to Connor Hellebuck. And I think bringing in a guy like Mason can help you sort of slow that process. It's just, again, a matter of how many years and where's that line between slowing that development and stagnating it.
Well, Kevin, you mentioned some of the strides Steve Mason made while in Columbus. What have you noticed, as someone who studies goaltenders, what have you noticed about Steve Mason's play in Philadelphia the last two or three years?
Well, I think the first thing that Jeff Reese did, and he was the goalie coach at the time in Philadelphia, was he simplified the game for Steve. In Columbus, he made strides in his game, but he struggled with reads. You would look at a goal, they would look at a goal with him after the game and ask him where he should be in this situation, and he'd tell you one thing, and then you'd look at the tape, and he'd be 3 feet out in a different spot. So I really do think he struggled with sort of situational depth. And in Philadelphia, they simplified it by basically reeling him in and putting him in the blue ice. And early on, he added some depth as he went on. But that first year under Reese, he pretty much played from the goal line. He really played a deeper game. So simplifying those reads for him, simplifying the game for him, allowed him to sort of utilize the improved tools. His post play was cleaned up in Columbus when Ian Clark took over as a goalie coach. Some of his sort of stance and tracking issues got better. All those things, he was no longer thinking on top of that. So that was the biggest thing. I mean, the tools have always been there. You saw it that first year in Columbus. The problem was if you really looked at that first year in Columbus, he was too reliant on the tool and not consistent enough with sort of positioning and technical work. All of that stuff has gotten better over the years, and now that allows sort of those athletic tools to shine through without becoming over-reliant on him. And the question will be, for a goalie who does, for the most part, still play deeper to simplify those reads, is will he struggle with the reads in Winnipeg, where, I'll be honest, we're always talking about goaltending Winnipeg over the past couple of years. Let's not lose sight of the fact that, in my mind, they have been Dallas North in terms of defensive structure in front of their goaltenders.
You know, Kevin, one player that may benefit from this move, although I agree with you that it probably should have, the goaltending in Winnipeg should have been changed last year, but is Eric Comrie, who's a player I watch a lot with the Manitoba Moose, but he really will have an opportunity to kind of develop within the AHL structure as opposed to being rushed too quickly to the NHL. So one is, that, you know, talk about the benefit for him. And secondly, you know, is there a negative from his perspective that he sees this as, you know, kind of a stalling in his progression?
You know, I haven't talked to him, so I don't know. I think if you have had a chance to talk to Eric over the years, you'll understand the character and how well he thinks things out, and that he's probably not a guy who's going to react overly emotionally to this type of thing. Mm-hmm. I will say, however, that, you know, talking to him after the World Championships, even though he didn't play, there was an opportunity there on a daily basis to see, you know, like he said, not just NHL shots, but, you know, a roster full of, Maybe not, you know, World Cup Olympic level, but, you know, Claude Giroux and Wayne Simmonds being tight and Ryan O'Reilly, and to really face them on a daily basis in practice and at morning skates, and to see what those shots were like, to early on in the process get exposed a little bit by some of those shots, but to recognize quickly what the fix was and be able to adjust to the point where by the end he was comfortable seeing a lot of these great shooters with open looks in practice. And so I think he's a lot closer than this deal would indicate. I understand their hesitation to rush things after what happened with Hellebuck, but at the same time, like, I think Eric's ready for that first step, that 25 games in the backup role, if you use Schneider as a comparison. I think he's there now. So holding him down in the minor leagues, I guess I would say, you kind of hope they have a better team maybe in the AHL, because it hasn't been good down there. And if you continue to expose a guy too much to bad teams and playing behind bad teams, you do worry a little bit about the habits that could build down there. You know, bad defensive teams typically force you to cheat a little bit. I don't know that Eric's gotten there yet or that that's been a problem. I don't think so. But, yeah, that is one of the concerns I have about this. And the other part, guys, is, you know, you mentioned Steve Mason in a 1A, 1B role. And that seems to be, and this is why I'm going to be interested to see the term here. Because I can break down what happens on the ice. I can show you technical details. I can show you delays in their game. I can show you inefficiencies. I can show you things that they do well on the ice. What I can't tell you is what they're thinking between the ears. I can break down between the pipes, but between the ears is, you know, let's be honest, and that's a major part of this game. So we look for signs. We don't have absolutes, but we look for signs. And in the case of Mason, if you look at his time in Philadelphia, the one thing he seems to have struggled with is uncertainty. Uncertainty over a contract. As soon as he gets an extension, he's great. This year, heading into unrestricted free agency, you know, both him and Newworth sort of struggled with that, who's the starter, and frankly, a lot of lack of support that was puzzling at times in Philadelphia for him, where from the outside in, it sure looked like he should have been the guy, and they didn't seem to ever want to commit to that. And his play did tail off a little bit this year. So that's the interesting part about this role. He is better when he sort of has that support and when there isn't that uncertainty surrounding his situation, when he knows what his role is. So if it's an open competition and the expectation is, you know, you're grooming or you're working with or Connor Hellebuyck is pushing you or challenging you for starts and it's an open competition, I'll be interested to see how he reacts to that, because he's been at his best in the past when he hasn't had to worry about that type of environment.